Okay, today I would like to discuss with you a collection of short yediyos relating to the mitzvah of tefillin. In this week's parasha, we encounter for the first time the mitzvah of tefillin. Parasha Aspo, at the end of the parasha, are the first two parashios of tefillin, Kadesh and V'choyo Ki Yiviyacha.
When did the Yidden first start putting on tefillin?
Let's talk about it right away. Very good question. When did the Jews first start putting on? What's the issue? They only had, at the time of when Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the mitzvah of tefillin, they only had the first two parashios. And tefillin... At the time of this, at the end of this week's parasha, which is right before Vayihi b'shalach paro es ha'am, so the Jews are still in the desert, they're preparing their Korban Pesach, Moshe Rabbeinu instructs them to about the mitzvah of tefillin. Kaddish l'chol b'char, peter kol rechem, b'vnei yishol, b'adam v'hem alihu, v'hoyo l'chol l'os al yodcha, u'l'zikaron b'nei necha. Here, before they left Mitzrayim, they were instructed to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. And then Moshe tells them the next parashah. So they were given the mitzvah before they actually left the Mitzrayim. There's a very, very important medrash. The medrash says that from the hides of the Korban Pesach, the Klal Yisrael made for themselves tefillin. Think about it. At this point in time, they shechted all of these sheep to bring a Korban Pesach, the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim. What do they do with the hides? What do they? They're a lot of leather. What happened to all that leather from all of these animals? So when Bizman Shabbos, Hamnashay Kayim, the leather went to the Kohanim. There was a business. There was a business, back to a basement business in the Beis HaMikdash, where they took all the leather and they sold it and the money went to support the Kohanim. What happened to all the hides? There were no Kohanim at this point in time yet. So what happened to the leather of all of the sheep that was used to make, to bring the Korban Pesach at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim? The Medrash says, everyone took the leather and Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the mitzvah of tefillin. They wrote down the parashios on the hides and they made batim and they didn't have gasos, I think, at that time. What?
Do it so quickly.
Why not? What else? They had plenty of time.
The tefillin
wasn't a quality of tefillin, our tefillin. We have gasos. Okay, today you can go into a store, they used to have, you can buy a kit. It's
right.
Made out of leather and you fold it in the right way to make a pair of tefillin.
The process of soaking into it now, get you off the hair.
Okay, I don't know the answer. Maybe they didn't dry it, they shaved off the hair. They can do it very quickly. Whatever they did. They made, that's what it says in the Medrash.
You had to have a seifim to write it.
Who wrote it? So a better question. So let me ask you a better question. What about the parasha of Shema and V'hoyo im Shemoya? Those parashas were not given until 40 years later. 40 years later.
So why don't you say that just like Pesach itself?
Yeah.
They got the Pesach Yetzias Mitzrayim. They didn't do Pesach for 40 years.
Yeah. No, that was a complaint. They didn't do Pesach for 40 years because they were not gemal.
But, right. So the same thing with tefillin. They were told the mitzvah. But
okay, this is the big debate. There's a big debate, exactly. But on the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the mitzvah of tefillin immediately. And then we find in the Medrash that they did make for themselves tefillin. So, but the problem is, even if they made tefillin at that point in time, what about the parasha of Shema? What about the parasha of Hayim Shemoa? This is a very...
How does the parasha of tefillin begin in the parasha?
When you enter Eretz Yisrael, not now. Okay, that's a good point. So indeed, there are many opinions that hold that they did not fulfill tefillin until the end of the Midbar, until they came to Eretz Yisrael, until a much later point in time, and this is just a Hagdama. What about the Medrash? Okay.
Could be that you can learn that you're not
Mechuyev
until only in Eretz Yisrael.
No, that... Don't go that far.
Say it a little louder.
No one says that it's a mitzvah. They don't say that about Tfa. Okay, so this is a very interesting. Some Rishonim want to say something amazing. They say that the tefillin that the Jews wore in the time of the Midbar, the time of Yitzias Hashem, were very different. They only had two parashios. It wasn't as complicated. All of the complicated rules of tefillin with the shin and the parashios and the way they're written, that came about at a later point after Matan Torah. At a later point in time. Here there was a very simplified form of tefillin of two parashios that was given at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That is the one. There's some big machlokes. Others say no, that they did have all four parashios. Torah was Megillah It was they had the entire Torah. Moshe did not put it into writing, did not formally compile the Torah until the end of the Midbar 40 years later. But the parsha of Shema and the parsha of Hayim Shemaya was already known to Bnei Yisrael at that point in time. Yeah.
He's suggesting that it was Bichlipaza and they just tied it on. They wrote the parsha.
Very quickly, without any details. Without the details.
Right, he wrote it on the cloth.
On a piece of cloth. And you tied on. You didn't do all the complicated laws. Okay, so this is indeed a very basic question. Many people ask this question: how did they wait till the 40 years in the Midbar? They didn't have the parsha. Either it was known to them, the parsha Moshe did not formally put it into writing to put it into Torah until the end of the 40 years, but it was already known. Or in a Chanami, they only had two parshios of Tefillin for this period of time, and their Tefillin were much more simplistic than the Tefillin that we know today. There's someone in Mimirame said this: how do you know that the four parshios are ma'akev? The Gemara Masechta Menachos says it comes from the word Taitafos. It says the word Taitafos three times in the Torah. Taitafos, Taitafos, Taitafos. In one place it's spelled in plural, Tait with a Vav, Taitafos. In the other two places, even though we read it in the plural, Taitafos, it's spelled Tatpos. It's spelled in the singular. There is no Vav. Being that there is no Vav, it can be theoretically read as Tatpos, which means an ornament, some type of a decoration that you put on your head. And the Gemara says that we read it Tatpos, so it's one. Tatpos is another one. Tatpos. And then it says Totafos, plural, which is two. Two plus two is four. One plus two is total of four. So this is how we know that all four parashios are ma'akev. But that's only true after you receive the parasha of V'choyim Shemoya. In V'choyim Shemo is where it says the third time, Toitafos, plural. But until this point of time, it only says Tatpos, so which is two. Which means
Devarim, right?
Right, so until they receive into the Varm, since the only reason why you have to have four is because of Tatfos, Taitafos, when did it come about? Taitafos? 40 years later. Until this point in time, we only had Tatfos. So you only required two parashios of Tefillin, and with that, it was much more simpler form of Tefillin. Another answer, what?
Also, if you put it once on 40 years, you're already Yotzer.
What does that mean exactly? That's a very interesting topic. We today live in a world, we discussed once and we discussed a few times. We live in a world today where if you don't wear tefillin, you should never miss even one day of tefillin. And if you don't wear tefillin even for one day, the world has come to an end. It's a serious thing not to miss a single day. However, there are many indications at the time of Chazal, tefillin were worn occasionally. Not every day. Special occasions. In fact, the Shamarta es Hakukah Hazos Lumoada Miyomim Yomima. What are the no other mitzvah in the Torah do you have such an expression? You shall guard this law. And it's season from miyomim, which can be loosely translated from time to time on special occasions. And in fact, it's mashmah that the only people who wore tefillin time chazal were the gedolim, were the talmidei chachamim. They wore tefillin more often, and the average man, you wore it on your bar mitzvah, then you got married on a special occasion, you put on a pair of tefillin every once in a while. But today that's not accepted. Today, Yehar Gval Yavar, today you wear tefillin every single day without exception. So you, we're saying it's very good. Then it could very well be the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They wore Miyamim Yamima. We wear it today. When you leave Mitzrayim, make for yourself some type of makeshift tefillin. Maybe they made even a few pairs and everyone they passed it around. They put it on for 5 minutes. And then whenever special occasions in the desert, they put on the tefillin. It was something which they wore every single day. Or maybe, like you said, they didn't wear it until the next 40 years later, until Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the mitzvah. Now, by the way, this only works out according to Ma'an Yama that says that we know that you must have four parashos from the drasha Tatfos, Totafos, and until this point in time they only had Tatfos and Tatfos. But there's another opinion in the Gemara that says the way we know that you need four parashos and it's Ma'akev is Tat Be'afrike Ishtayim and Pot Be'kafsei Ishtayim. These are two words which are not part of Lashon Kodesh, which are taken from other languages, and each word means two. Two plus two is four. So even the word totofos or tatfos automatically teaches us, even just one usage of the word teaches us that you must have four parashios of tefillin. So according to that Maimon, we have to say that at this point in time, they already knew about the parasha of Shema and the parasha of Ahoyim Shema. Moshe Rabbeinu did not put it into the Torah until 40 years later, but it was already known to them orally before. They already had the four parashios. In fact, the Torah already used the word totofos already in the time of Parashas Bo, is telling you all four parashios must be part of the tefillin. Did they make it? Did they not make it the way we know, the way we not? Didn't know it? Rashi Menu Tam, right?
No, Rashi, no, that Amos probably had 50 different verses.
Yeah.
But the Ksav.
Yeah. Ashuris, Vilish, Arizal.
Was it Ibris?
Well, Rabbi Cohn last week taught us that it's halacha. There was halacha l'moshe m'sinai. There were three ksav that were given.
Right.
Three ksav.
What were they given?
What? There's really four. There's ksav ivri. There's ksav ivri also. There's ksav ivri. What?
There's a big bach like tomorrow. What if to say if the Torah was given in Shuris was given, right.
That's another discussion. There's another discussion. Shuris, Ksav, Ivri. Also, we don't know. Inachdam, did they write an Ivri, write like Shuris? We don't know. Inachdami, there's another discussion, but there are at least four different scripts. Ksav, Ivri.
Variations of.
Well, Ksav Ashuris, no, those, there are three variations of Ksav Ashuris. The Ksav Ashuris, Beis Yosef, Arizal, and Vilish. They call it Velish. They call it Velish. Welsh. Okay, these are the three variations of Ksav Ashuris. But then there's Ksav Ivri, and there's not one version of Ksav Ivri. There are many versions of Ksav Ivri. Ksav Ivri, we think, oh, you know, we have already a hard. Well, we have a hard enough time with Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ivri, there are many, many variations of Ksav Ivri. In fact, some of the they don't even that recognizable. You can't even tell which one version. So when we say that the Torah was given in Ksav Ivri, which version of Ksav Ivri? It could very well be that we even know we lost that original version because there are so many variations. Okay, let's go to some other ideas.
I know, then I want to say, what's the reason you're wearing tefillin? The people that went out of Mitzrayim didn't need the oath. They experienced
the real thing.
They experienced the
oath. The oath. Beautiful. They need a zeicha. You have the real thing.
They saw the real thing.
When you have the real thing, you don't need to make belief. It's only when you don't have the real thing, you need to have simonim and oisais, then you need to make belief.
Tefillin stopped wearing tefillin all day.
They stopped recently. Recently, everything I'm going to tell you now, I have a whole page of notes I took yesterday. There's a sefer called Mitzuvah Oisem. I forgot the name of the Mechaber. He's friends with Rabbi Kalish. Kalish, he knows him very well. And he has a sefer, a two-volume sefer called Mitzuvah Oisem. And he has a collection of ideas on many different mitzvahs. And he has their collection of ideas on tefillin. And one of the topics that he discusses is wearing tefillin the entire day. We don't wear tefillin the entire day because you're not allowed to be mesiach das. You have to always think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to recognize that you're wearing the Shem Hashem. We today are not on a madrega. We can even concentrate when we're wearing the tefillin about HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the few minutes. So therefore, it's enough for the few minutes that we wear tefillin to wear tefillin, and that's why we don't wear. But if a person in Hanami is a madrega where you can concentrate on the tefillin the entire day, call HaKadosh. A person should wear tefillin the entire day. He mentions in his book there are certain gedolim that he knows. Rabbi Cheskel Roth, he wears tefillin the whole day. He's a rabbi placed in Bar Park, if I'm not mistaken.
He was the one from Ali Prophet.
And Delinsky of Delinsky in Eretz Yisrael, there's a rabbi good Eretz Yisrael, he wears tefillin the whole day. So for the big Bali Madrega, you also need a guf naki. A person's body is such that every so often he passes gas to some degree, which many people today, for whatever reason, it seems more prevalent than it was 100 years ago. Our digestive systems are not the way it used to be. Also forbidden to wear tefillin. Passing gas is a very serious problem when wearing tefillin.
So the svardim of those that who have the little tiny tefillin,
they were able to put it in their hair.
In
the old day, you put it in your hair, right? There's a talent. That's another thing that's been lost from us. Some have made note of this. Is that we have today tefillin that are very small, that are written, that are mechuder. The ksav is perfect, and we don't have today people out there that are talented. It just doesn't exist. The talent is so rare it's not proportional to the tefillin that are that the old tefillin that we have to make tefillin that's so small with such precision. He'll pay $100,000 to go find a mumcha, a Talmud Chacham, a Yerushalayim that will be able to write tefillin, teeny little tefillin that are that you can hide in your hair. If you have a nice chup, you can hide in your hair, so you can go a bit sinner wearing these tefillin. We don't have such mumchim. Well, maybe today, because maybe there's more talent today.
The problem is you can't use gases to make the bottom.
Why not? I'm sure technology. So you won't use gases. So use dakas. Gas is a new thing. So who ever had gases? Gases.
Never had gases in the old days.
For money, you can get anything. You can even buy a Sony Betza for money. For money,
my father had a tiny tefillin like that in the army, and he gave it to me after I was bar mitzvah. He gave me a second pair of tefillin, so I should have an extra pair. And he went and he took it before he gave it to me because he hadn't worn it since he was in overseas. And he took it to a site to have it checked. And the guy, he said, they sat there, and the guy was incredulous that
how it can be so mahudar and so small.
One cup.
You don't find this today. Today you don't see this.
You still have it?
Yes, I do.
On the other hand, Lubavitch, for whatever reason, have been a very massive. They have very large tefillin, Lubavitch, giant tefillin. Why is it like that? I don't know. But it seems the trend is not. The trend, even among bar mitzvah boys now, is smaller and smaller. They have more. They have new technology. What? They're supposed to be two etzpos. The smallest size Shulchan Aruch is not more than four. It's a very small gap. The smallest tefillin are 2x2, and the large it should not be larger than 4 fingers by 4 fingers. And now then there's another thing. It doesn't have to be. It can be high. It only has to be square. Our tefillin are perfectly square. Top cube does not have to be a square. It only has to be square in width and length. Height can be as tall as you want.
So
there's a sofer. No, they have cubes. The Lubavitch have cubes.
They're very high.
What?
They're
very high, but they're massive. There's a sofer. The far as there's only one sofer that did this. I think of a Schachter in Borough Park. So many years ago, he came out with a new invention. He has a lot of new innovations to make them very tall, too tall, but small. And that way, you can be mehudar. The parshios can be mehudar, big, and it can be small, so there's more room.
You don't have to have giant parshios. You can have the regular small parshios and fit into it.
Not necessarily. That's all part of the problem. I know it's going out of time, and this is a different time. He went around promoting his tefillin. He invented these new tefillin. He went around. He got a haskam from all the gedolei Yisrael, but it never took off. I asked because my nephew was bar mitzvah, and I was involved in getting him the tefillin, preparing the tefillin. So I had a nice discussion with a sofer, a mumcha, and he told me he never. They used to carry it, but it never really took off. Whatever happened, it just...
The little rubbers that I gave you for the
tefillin. Yeah, he spoke about that in the Sefer.
If you're 43, 44, 45...
He's very in favor. In the Mitzvah Yosef, he's very in favor of your little rubbers. He says that he brings a pasuk of it's CP, so he's some advice on the chutz. All right, let's discuss some very quick thing. We're running out of time. Okay, first, a couple of short things. Let's see which direction here. I folded the page. Okay, I found this part to be the most interesting. When do you take off the tefillin? So we know the taking off the tefillin. First of all, there's a shlah. I wasn't aware of the shlah. Is you're supposed to take off your tefillin with your weaker hand, with the left hand. People have a tendency to take off the tefillin with the right hand because that's their stronger hand. When you go away from mitzvah, you should do it in the tzitif tsar. The shlah says you should take it off with your weaker hand at the show that you're not happy, you need to take off the tefillin. When you put on the tefillin, the custom is to kiss the tefillin. You kiss it when you take it out of the bag before you put it on. Why isn't that called a hefsek? When it comes to the shalyad, well, you did not make the bracha yet. When it comes to the shalrosh, when you put on the shalrosh, before you put on your head, you fasten on your head, it is the custom to kiss the tefillin. Is that a hefsek? So Rav Moshe says it's not a hefsek, because the amount of time it takes to kiss the shalrosh is so insignificant, it cannot in halacha be considered a hefsek, and indeed it is the minhag. What is very interesting, the Sefer Mitzvah Yosef points out that the only place in Shulchan Aruch where it says that you should kiss your tefillin is when you take them off. interesting that it's brought down. It's in the custom of kissing is brought down in the Ramah. It's not brought down when you put them on. It's brought down by chalitzas tilm. Now you can say you can be redacted maybe because when you put it on, it's a hefsek. When you're putting on between the shalyan and the shalosh, or you can say, like everything in life, you only appreciate something when it's taken away from you. Unfortunately, we don't appreciate what we have. We only begrudge something when we appreciate we take it away. Now here's a very interesting thing. This is a curious thing. The Ari, it's brought down in all of the Sarn that the Ari HaKadosh did not take off his tefillin until Aleinu, in the middle of Aleinu, when he said the words, Al-Kei Nekave Lecha. Al-Kei Nekave Lecha, Hashem Elokeinu, and then he took off his tefillin. The question is why? Why Bedavka and the Kavalcha? What does Alkein and the Kavalcha have to do with thing of tefillin? So I didn't see anyone give an explanation. The only thing I can think of is when we wear tefillin, what is tefillin about? The Rahu Kol Amei Haaretz Kishem Hashem Nikolech of Yomeka. Perhaps the lumbus of the Arizal is just this conjecture. Jewish is that when we're asking Hashem to Alkein and Kavalcha Hashem Alkein Liros Mehera B'Sifares Uzecha. When we're asking to see Hashem, we yearn to see you, Hashem. It's not derech eretz that we should glorify ourselves in what we look like. The beauty of what we look like is expressed in our tefillin. When you're wearing tefillin, you're pretty. You're as pretty as can possibly be because the pasuk says, "V'rohu kol amei haaretz ki shem Hashem nikolecha v'yaru mimecha." So it represents the beauty, our beauty. Now, when we ask in Kadosh Baruch, we want to see your beauty. It's not derech eretz that we should be in a beautified matzav when we're asking to focusing on the beauty of our Kadosh Baruch. So perhaps that's why the Arizal has the hakpada when he said, "Alkein nekavelecha." Now you take off your tefillin. Right. When we say liros, because now you're about to say liros, we want to see liros.
So mehera.
No, he didn't put it back on after. It doesn't say that.
When
you do that on Rosh Chodesh, good, let's do that right now. In Eretz Yisrael, he made a bracha when they took off tefillin. Lishmar chukecha. And we only make a bracha when we put on tefillin. Machlekes Macham and Ramah, make one bracha, two brachas.
Based on that, they did a minute. In the last part of Volatziah, when you say Yehira,
you kiss the tefillin.
Shenishma chukecha, there was a
excellent.
That you started taking off. You
right.
Took off.
Some indeed took it off. We don't follow that. We'll discuss it in a moment. You kiss it. The words shenishmar chukecha are similar to the bracha that was recited by the Bnei Marav. In Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says there was a minug. They made a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam asher kedoshanu b'mitzvot tzvanu. Lishmar chukecha. To God. V'shamarta es hachuka hazos. L'moa dami and mimimu. This week's parasha. So you make a bracha when you put it on. Lo niach al mitzvahs. And when you take it off, another bracha. Lishmar chukecha. When you take it off, because now I'm going into mundane activities. I'm going to involve myself in mundane activities. I'm not going to be clean. I'm going to be mesiach das. That's also a gedder of the kedusha of tefillin. So you make a bracha. We don't do that, but we're meranes to it by being the mashmesh b'tefillin when you say those words. But there is a very big nafkamina. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. When do we take off tefillin? We take off tefillin before Musaf. Now, when do we take off? It's very interesting. We take off, the custom among, as far as I know, among most of us, is to take it off before you begin the Shemona Esrei, after Kaddish. First is Kaddish, and then the Shemona Esrei. That's not so simple, you should know. We had a discussion of Ashkenazi, Zeichet Tzadik Levroch, I think he discusses this, is that you're not allowed to be mafsig between Kaddish and Shemona Esrei. Some hold that it's preferred to take off the tefillin before you say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash. You finish Uvolat Zion of Yitzchuk v'Chol Yedei Shemech Kilo Zavra. You go the last part of Uvolat Zion, and before you begin Yiskadal, then you take off the tefillin and you go from Yiskadal straight into the Shemona Esrei, not to be mafsig. That's not our custom. Our custom, almost what we see is you say first Chatzi Kaddish and then you take off the tefillin. By the way, why do we think of tefillin? There are two reasons why I think of tefillin. What?
But also, you have in the middle, you have your hallelujah, when you put the Sefer Torah.
But that's
Minik Svad. Minik Svad puts the Sefer Torah.
So
you can't take off your tefillin when the Sefer Torah is laying.
But even Minik Svad, they say your hallelujah.
And then they say Kaddish.
And the then first they see, then they say Kaddish. And then they say Hallelujah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm not used to that.
Well, you can't take it thrown on when, off when the Sefer Torah
is. Aha. Interesting. Okay. And that's, maybe that's why. Maybe so Ashkenaz is really influenced by the Sfarad.
Because the Sefer Torah before.
But he's saying the Sfarad is taking off Tefillin. Maybe there's some influence that from the Sfaradim that extended to the Ashkenazim. Interesting. Okay, but this is a very big issue. By the way, Derech Agav, why do we think, why don't we wear Tefillin when we daven Musaf? One reason is because it's a Yom Tif. On Yom Tif, you don't wear Tefillin. So since when you daven Musaf, it's a Begeder Yom Tif. So you don't wear tefillin, and the other reason is because Nusach Sfar they say keser, keser they say the short keser, and therefore when you say keser, Yidulcha fits well with the Arizal. When I said the Alkein the Kavu Hashem Alkein Liros, when you look at Kadosh Baruch Hu Liros, then you don't go pride yourself in what you look like. So because you took keser Yidulcha, Dater Cheretz, you should be wearing your own personal keser. But he brings down the Mitzvah something very beautiful. He says that even though it's not our custom that we're not allowed to take off tefillin until after Kaddish on a regular weekday or until a Kaddish Yosef, which we'll discuss in one moment, but on Rosh Chodesh, he says, some have the custom, since anyway you have to take off the tefillin for Musaf, and it's only a question of Kaddish or Volitzion, it's ideal to take it off right after you say, Yiratzai in the middle. When you say Shenishmar Chukecha, since that parallels the bracha of the Bnei Marava, and they made this bracha when they took off the tefillin, they first made the bracha and they took off the tefillin. So since on Rosh Chodesh, anyway, we're taking off the tefillin in a few moments, it's ideal to say Yihiratzon. In Mitzuvio, so he brings that from someone. Mitzuvio, he says, you say the Yihiratzon, and right after you say the Yihiratzon, you take off the tefillin. So once a month, Yimamish Mekayim, Yimekayim, the minhag of the Bnei Marava. No, that's not. I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just telling you, Yedidus. This is what indeed he says that some people indeed do. I know you're going to do this, right?
I take it off.
Oh, okay. So even Rabbi Natan, you have to take off right before you come to Musaf. Okay.
I take it off before Chazar Sashatz.
Okay, running out of time. Really out of time. Let's go on the quick things. All right, I'll just jump around. There's a Medrash Pliya. I love this Medrash Pliya that says that the only time you wear tefillin ain't manichim tefillin ella. B'Shabbos.
Really?
Ein manich in tefillin ella b'Shabbos.
Special time.
What's made us? Shabbos, you don't wear tefillin. Shabbos, you don't wear it. Shabbos, you wear the Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Shreimel b'mkayim tefillin.
Oh.
So what does it mean? What does it mean in ella b'Shabbos? So,
Shabbos is about tefillin or not. Right?
But we no one wears tefillin on Shabbos.
Obviously, there was the sheet that only was
ella b'Shabbos, and not during the weekday. The weekday, of course, you wear tefillin. So it's
told that they only occasionally put it on.
Yeah.
And they held that Shabbos is about tefillin, so they obviously that occasionally was zikr Shabbos.
All right. This is what they say. It's a drush. It's a very simple answer. Today, what's today? Today's Tuesday. Hayom Yom Shlishi Bishabbos. Tomorrow, Hayom Revi Bishabbos. Sunday, Hayom Yom Rishi Bishabbos. Friday, Hayom Yom Shishi Bishabbos. Shabbos, we say Hayom Shabbos Kodesh. You don't say the buh. You don't say the buh. Hayom Shabbos Kodesh. Shabo Hayu Halavim. Oymim Beis Hamikdash. What's the Nusach?
Hayom Shabbos.
Hayom Yom Shabbos, but not Bishabbos. Hayom Yom Shabbos Kodesh.
They say Ba. It's two different.
Oh, but so the Medrash Pliya says also whatever the Nusach of the Siddur is. But you only have the bays during the 6 days of the week. You don't have the bays on Shabbos. So that's what the Medrash means. It's a drush. The Medrash. On a day when you say Bishabbos, kilul drush. Other interpretation he says is Rosh Bishabbos is Rosh Tevis b'mokoyim say. Are, where is the place of tefillin? Not on your forehead. Beis be, sin is sear. B'mokoyim tapuach. The shalyat has to go on the bicep. B'mosam tapuach tof is the sof of Shabbos. So it's Rosh Hashanah. Ein manichim tefillin ella. B'mokoyim sear and b'mokoyim tapuach. Okay, a little cute drush. Okay, let's go over some quick other things, very short things. Okay, interesting shaila. Orel, let's say a person does not have a bris milah. person does not have a bris smila because mesum echav machmas smila, is he allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos? The only reason why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos is because two oisais, an ois. So a person that does not have you have to have two oisais, the ois of Shabbos, the bris mila and tefillin. But on Shabbos we have the ois of Shabbos, so we don't need the ois of tefillin. So what about a person Rachman l'slan meisu echa machmas mila doesn't have bris halach lemaisa not? But it's an interesting shaila.
Not before asking because you're mavayish.
So the Mavai Shem, it's interesting.
So do you wear
tefillin on a bris mila? So it's a big machlokes apayskin. The Mishnah Berurah is very strong. The Mishnah Berurah is very strong that you should wear tefillin during a bris mila. By Hasidim, it's a mixed bag. Some do and some don't. There are the Gus Hasidim which hold the Pumfa Keret that you don't wear tefillin bedavka. You should not be wearing tefillin by a bris mila. So one of the explanations I explained was tefillin is like an antenna. It's like an antenna which broadcasts. When you're wearing tefillin, v'rohu kol ame haaretz, you're broadcasting your kedusha to the entire world. Shabbos is oisi beinu v'neichem. Shabbos, the antennas, the website is down. The broadcast is off. A bris mila is a private ois between our Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So when you're engaged in doing bris mila, it's a private ois between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. It's not for the world to know about. So you turn off the antenna. You turn off the broadcast. You don't bedavka, don't wear tefillin. This is shita of some groups of Hasidim. Again, Ashkenaz, clearly the right thing to do is to wear tefillin. What's interesting is the Satmar Rav, what did he do? So the Satmar Rav, Rubu did not wear tefillin. Every once in a while, he was caught wearing tefillin at a bris. So someone once asked him, why is the Rebbe wearing tefillin on this bris? So he said, I really prefer to take it off. That's my custom. But if sometimes things happen so quick, they already give a clap, kavata, kavata, and they already start bringing the baby. And when the baby comes, Eliyo Hanavi arrives. And the halacha is, you're not allowed to take off your tefillin in front of your Rebbe. It's awesome. So even though it's my custom, it's a gil, you're uncovering your head, it's a chutzpah to take off your tefillin in front of the Rebbe. So even though I don't wear a tefillin, if they already said kvata, it's already too late.
People who dive in there and get a kibbutz, they usually leave this phone on.
What?
People who get a kibbutz, like a sandik or something.
Not only, I was just going to say, 99% of brisim do not have enough talasim.
No.
Even if it's right after davening, you will see the people have put away the talus and there's never enough talus.
If you know you're getting a kibbutz, don't you leave your tefillin on?
No. What you do is you come in and they give you, they pass, you say, pass the talus.
All right.
Never enough talus.
Okay, one last thing, out of time, one last cute little vart. Kissing the tefillin. Okay, this is a very interesting topic. Kissing the tefillin. There are so many Americans. When is the ideal time to kiss here? To besides when you put on, you take it off during the davening. So we all know when you say posech es yodecha, are you supposed to kiss it? Supposed to be mashmish. Just to be aware that it's there. Different opinions. Are you supposed to mamish kiss it? And what about when you say kriya shma? And you mentioned when you read the psukim of the parshios and kaddish vayikiv yachad, you say it every day. There's another minute when you say oiter yisrael besifara, oizer yisrael bigvura is the shelyad, oiter yisrael besifara. Some have a custom when you say yoitzer or uvori choishach, yoitzer, and this is very bizarre. Yoitzer or is the shelyad, uvori choishach, darkness is the tefillah shel rosh. Another custom. Okay, there's the issue with stipler. The style is different. The style that he did when it came to Shalyad, he did not put his hand. He kissed it with his mouth. That's how he kissed it on the Shalyad. Well, obviously, he can't do that. Now, this triggered the Sefer. Then he gives a discussion. We're not getting a discussion. Mezuzah. By Mezuzah, there's really no Makar to kiss a Mezuzah. The Makar for Mezuzah is Mamashmesh. So, why is Tfilin different? Why by Mezuzah are you supposed to be? We kiss it. I don't know why. There's whatever. Well, these also mean mashmish germs because pumps up. It could be. That's not a joke. Maybe that's chazal in mind. Tefillin mezuzah you mashmish. Tefillin you kiss. What's the difference? So someone to say because tefillin is personal. Mezuzah is for the Hamoinam. The Hamoinam, maybe because of germs, whatever it is, it's a different thing. Tilling is personal. Personal, you kiss, but mezuzah, you touch. But this is just a cute little sharp line. The Sefer, he brings down one Hasidic Rebbe that he took note that he went to a shul. He went to a shul and he noticed that when the Sefer Torah came around, so no one would kiss it with their mouth. They blew kisses. They kissed their fingers, and they put their finger. So they kissed their hands. Then it came to the Kol Nidre appeal, and with the Kol Nidre appeal, they made appeals. And at the time of the appeal, it was during the week, I guess. When it came to the appeal, they pledged, I'm giving $1 million, I'm giving $500, and no one paid a penny. It was all a bluff. Everyone just... So he said, in this shul, the problem is they pledge with their mouth and they kiss with their hands. By my people, it's just the opposite. When it comes to give money, you give with your hands. Okay? I don't hear pledges. You want to give money? Put the money in the pot. Let's see the money in the pushka. You give with your hand. And when you kiss, you don't kiss with your blow kisses. You kiss the peh. The stipler, when he kissed the tefillin, it wasn't the peh, he kissed with his mouth. That's the real deal. You kiss with your peh, and you give with your hand. If you start pledging with your mouth and kissing with your hand, you know you're in trouble. All right, have a wonderful day.